Good to be with you again this first day of the week. Pleasant evening we have, and thankful that we can take this time to consider the Word of God and bring a lesson with us that will help us through this week. It's been good to be with you all today and appreciate this opportunity we've had to work together. I'd like to have a lesson tonight that I think will encourage us all in our service to God. And in the process of this lesson, we'll learn a memory verse, whether you want to or not. It's a four-word verse, so you probably can't help it. Some of you already know it. But we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Really, I was glad to hear the children answering questions tonight. I always like to see that. Maybe the next time I see one of you guys, I'll ask you what Hebrews 13 and 1 is. And you'll know the answer. Hebrews 13 and 1. Let brotherly love continue. Here we have a short exhortation, a very easy to remember admonition that is a rule for us to walk by each day. Let brotherly love continue. The subject, of course, is brotherly love. And as we know, that's one of the great things that we've been taught when we become Christians. We know that Jesus told us in the 13th chapter of John that this would be how all men would know that you are my disciples. Here was the mark that he chose. There are other things, of course, that Jesus asks us to do when we follow him. But if we do all those other things and leave out the love, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 13, it profits us nothing. Sometimes our religion can become a loveless religion where we forget about the love. When we forget about the love in our religion, you could compare that to having a very nice car. A car that has a beautiful body, excellent upholstery on the seats. Everything about it looks good, but if you pick up the engine or pick up the hood, there's either no engine or the engine doesn't work. So what good is the nice car if it doesn't run? And what good is my religion if it doesn't run? And the thing that makes it run, the things that motivates it is love. Paul said in the 5th chapter of Galatians that it was not circumcision that availed anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love. The love needs to be there to motivate what I do. That needs to be behind the good things that I do. And then God is pleased with it. And then we'll be protected, so to speak, when we do the good things. Because our motive will be pure. Love is the end of the commandment, Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1. And if anyone ever swerves away from that, then they have missed the point. The point of the commandments, the point of following the Bible, is to produce love out of a pure heart with a clear conscience. That's the goal of love. So can you see a little bit now why we would have Hebrews 13 and 1? Let brotherly love continue. Let it continue. This indicates to us that brotherly love might be something that would not continue. So we need to be sure that we're doing our part to make it continue. Notice that brotherly love is something we were born to do. When you were born again, when you obeyed the gospel, you were born to love your brethren. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." God begat us. That's the part of the Father in a birth. He begat us with the word of truth, and the goal was that we should be a kind of first fruits. Now, the way we use kind of, we mean, we've kind of watered that phrase down a little bit. We mean sort of, kind of. But kind of originally means that you are like it. You are of the same kind. Just the way the word was used in the beginning when God created everything to reproduce after its own kind. So if you've been born again, what kind of a person are you? You are a God kind of person. So therefore, you must be like God. And remember, John tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 that God is love. If you've been born again, then that's the kind of person you are. God is love, therefore we are born to that goal, the goal of love. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the Apostle Peter tells us in verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. There was the goal of our obedience to the truth. When you heard the gospel and you heard what God had asked you to do, and then you submitted and obeyed, the goal was that you would have a genuine, unfeigned, unpretended love for your brethren. That was the object of this obedience. Peter says, since that's what you did, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's good to know your purpose, isn't it? It's good to know your purpose. When I go into the kitchen and make myself a peanut butter sandwich, I know the purpose for that sandwich. That purpose is for me. That sandwich is mine. It's to satisfy my hunger. That sandwich has a simple existence, to satisfy my hunger. Well, why were we born again? We were born again to become like Jesus. That's our purpose. And so if I go against my purpose, it will be no wonder if I'm not really happy. If I try to live some other way than to be like Jesus, who loved us so much, he gave himself for us, then I won't be very happy, will I? If I want to be happy, I need to be like Jesus. I need to be living in accordance to the kind of person I have been born to be. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now that's something that we also have to keep in mind here. Fervent love. Peter will say in 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. As Peter says, it needs to be fervent. You've got to warm it up. Just like you like your meals hot. You know, if you're having some main dish, it usually needs to be hot, doesn't it? And if it's no longer hot, it's no longer enjoyable. So we've got to make sure that our love is from a pure heart and that it's fervent, it's warm, it's kind, it's meaningful. It's not mechanical. You ever had the mechanical kind of love when you go to a restaurant and the waitress comes by and says, everybody, everything all right? And then they're off. You know, what they said was good. You know, it's nice to pay attention and see if there's anything you need, but it can become mechanical, where they don't really mean that. They didn't really want to help me. They just were doing their job. So we don't want to become that way as Christians, where we're just doing our job. We want to be sure that what we're doing is done from love. And I like what he says in chapter 2, beginning in verse 1 of 1 Peter. Wherefore, in light of the fact that you've been born again of this incorruptible seed, the Word of God, the eternal seed. Wherefore, since you've been born again, lay aside all malice. If you have any malice in your heart towards anybody, anyone in your family, anyone in the church, Peter says, lay it aside. You've got to. And all your guile, all your, you know, dishonest speaking, your insincere speaking, speaking just to gain an advantage, or to take advantage of somebody. Lay aside that guile. Lay aside hypocrisy. Be genuine. And lay aside envy. Sometimes we're jealous of others in the church. We don't want to be jealous, but sometimes we find we're doing that. We need to lay that aside. And all evil speakings. Evil speakings will kill love, won't they? Evil speaking, remember, is when you speak evil of someone else. Even if you may be right in what you're saying, You've got to ask yourself, why am I saying this? What is my point? Am I saying this because I love the person? Am I saying this to promote brotherly love? Or am I saying this to get even with somebody? Am I saying this to hurt somebody? That's the kind of evil speaking he's talking about. Just lay it aside. And as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The Word of God is what will enable us to love one another. It's what's going to enable us to grow. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You know, those things in verse 1 that we lay aside, you put those things aside because that's not in harmony with the Word of God. And this is the seed. This is the seed. The reason I can only look certain ways physically is because of the seed of my father. It's a genetic code that's determining what I look like. And my mother's genetic code is in there too. There are limits as to what I can look like. Well, when we're talking about being born again, we should realize this is the genetic code. This is the description of what I should look like as a Christian. I should have as one of my outstanding characteristics the love of God. And isn't that a characteristic that every child of God can have? It isn't like a talent. It isn't like an ability to do this or an ability to do that. This is the characteristic that every child of God must have. That's why it needs to be encouraged and promoted as much as we possibly can. And when you think about it, what we're being encouraged to do is something that tastes good. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Remember the babies you've known about, those of you that had babies, mothers, fathers who watched the baby eating. How much did the baby enjoy eating? That was really, it seemed like what the baby was living for, wasn't it? That was the highlight of the baby's life, was to get to eat. And as soon as the baby had eaten, it was as happy and content as could be. That's the kind of happiness God wants us to have spiritually from His Word. When we've had a feast from His Word, we should be just as content as the baby is when the baby has been fed. And when we don't have it, we should desire it just as much as a baby desires to be fed. We don't need to cry about it when we don't get fed, but we can get it without crying. We can get the Word of God. And that's why in the church we always try to make sure the Word of God is available when we come together in the services, and that we provide it for each other in other ways. This is how we grow, and we need to taste and see that the Lord is gracious so that we want more of Him. This brotherly love, as we said, is something we were born to do. And over in John, notice the contrast that he gives us. 1 John chapter 3, he uses an example from the Old Testament to show us what we should not be like in regards to brotherly love. 1 John chapter 3. Down in verse 11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Okay, so there's the simple message. The message that Jesus gave us in the beginning, so to speak. It's the message that the apostles taught. One of the traditions about the apostle John is that he spent his last days in the church at Ephesus, and that when his health was poor, that if he couldn't say anything else, he would always speak a few words of exhortation to the brethren, and was, love one another. That's what he wanted the brethren to remember. Remember, brethren, love one another. This is above everything else. And this is what we must never forget and lose sight of. Yes, love one another is the message we've heard from the beginning, and we should not be, verse 12 of 1 John 3, not be like Cain. Don't be like Cain. Well, didn't Cain worship God? Yes, he did. He tried to worship God. He tried to worship God in a way he thought would be all right. Don't know why he thought it would be all right, but he did. He tried to worship God. And when his brother's offering was accepted, Abel was accepted in offering the lamb, and Cain was not accepted in his offering. Cain became envious and jealous of his brother. See, there was no brotherly love there, was there? Instead, there was the envy that Peter told us to put aside. Here, Cain is feeling envy toward his own brother. And what's the Bible say that's an indication of here? It says that Cain was of the wicked one. And that's why he killed his brother. You'll notice that today in religion, and always keep this in mind, to be wise as a serpent, the greatest enemies we have are religious. And I know we don't want to think that way. We don't think, well, not religious people. Religious people are nice. Well, not really. Who was it that had Jesus crucified? That was religious people, wasn't it? That was his own. Well, his own people. It wasn't atheists. It wasn't terrible people that had Jesus put to death. No, it was religious people. And so this is where Satan is allowed to get really close, through religion. And so Cain was a religious man who was of the devil. And he persecuted his own brother. He killed his own brother. He was of the wicked one, and he was banished. And forever since, we've been warned in Jude, verse 11, not to follow the way of Cain. Don't follow the way that says, I can give to God whatever I like. I can serve God my way. You serve God your way, I'll serve God my way. No, that's the way of Cain. The way to please the Lord is, what will you have me do, Lord? And here's where it is. It's in the Bible. That's where you know what to do. But when you try to do what's right, brethren, there will be those of the wicked one who will hate you for it. And they'll persecute you. They won't like you. They'll call you names. So you have to be prepared for that. Be prepared to be called names. Even Jesus was called names, and he never did anything wrong. And yet they found names to call him. As long as you have a clear conscience and you know that you're following what the Bible says, you should not be afraid of them. But this is one of the enemies we have of brotherly love. Now, when you think of somebody killing their brother, that seems like an extreme example, but you know you can kill your brother with evil speaking. Remember, that's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. But I say, whoever says to his brother, Reka, or you fool, you're in danger of the judgment. Because of the way you're talking about them, the way you're speaking about them, that evil speaking is murdering them. You can kill them with your words. So we don't want to hate a brother in our heart. We don't want to say things that would kill them. We don't want to slander them. We want to speak words that will help them. If they're in the wrong, speak words that will help them to repent. And we shouldn't resent it when somebody thinks that we're wrong. We should reason with them. We should plead with them. I can understand why religious groups think that I'm wrong. They teach things that I don't believe are in the Bible. And therefore, they conclude I'm wrong. Well, that's only to be understood. Except, you just have to expect that. So don't hate them for their doing that. But try, if you can, to reason with them and explain it. They're just trying to be consistent with what they believe. We should be following the Lord, and it's our brotherly love that will be our best weapon. That will be the best weapon against anything false. That's why I think in 2 John, when John talks about the Antichrist, or he talks about those that deny that Jesus came in the flesh, he doesn't really go into an explanation of why that's wrong. What we should understand why that's not right, but instead his admonition is still to love one another, because that's one of the best antidotes for anyone accepting a false idea. You know, it'd be hard for anyone to listen to false teaching if they are a part of a congregation where there's love one for another. So it's the best thing we can do is to love each other. And that's one of the things that will lure people away, If they're a part of a congregation where they're not loved, and they meet these people that are so nice to them and so friendly and kind, it's a very attractive force. And they'll be led to believe things that aren't right just because they were attracted by people who cared. We need to show care for one another in our brotherly love. And we need to let it continue. One of the ways we do this, is we take advantage of times to be together, because that's what people do when they care about each other, isn't it? When one type of love, if you want to classify it that way, and it might be classified that way, but there's this thing we call infatuation. When two people are infatuated with each other, they go to extremes. They want to be with each other every moment of the day. They only think about each other. They hang on each other's words. And that may be an extreme type of love that is impossible to maintain. But still, it's a characteristic of people who love each other. They do like to be with each other. And they look for reasons to be together. In Malachi chapter 3, there's a prophecy about those who fear the Lord. And I think it's fulfilled in the church. You and I can be part of that fulfillment if we will practice what's being said here in Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and they that thought upon his name. Here is the sign that we have brotherly love, is that we want to speak often one to another. And the Lord listens for this. See, this is what's interesting. The Lord listens for how we talk to each other. And it says that the Lord hears it, and he hearkens and hears it, and a book of remembrance is written. He writes it down. Isn't that interesting that God writes it down? We don't know exactly how he does that, but he makes a note of this. He writes it down and it's recorded. You know, whenever something's recorded, that's pretty important. Because then people can refer back to it. Say, you remember when you said this? Do you remember when you said this? I didn't remember I said that. Well, it's recorded. It's right here. I didn't know I said that. Well, God's recording it. And what God likes and what he pays attention to, what he records, he likes to record it when we speak often one to another. That's brotherly love. That's you care about one another. So you're with each other. And you know, do you ever feel like sometimes there aren't that many that want to get together? You ever feel like, I wish more wanted to be together? How come on Sunday night and Wednesday night we don't get as many as we got on Sunday morning? What happened? Well, I don't fully understand the answer, but I like verse 17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, when I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. If you're a Christian, and if you have faith, if you have brotherly love, you are a jewel to the Lord. You're a jewel. Some of you have jewels, I'm sure. You have diamonds, rubies, precious stones. Usually, we take good care of them. Sometimes we don't even let people know we have them. That's how precious they are. I'm not going to show you my jewels. They're precious. You might want them. You might want to take them. Well, brethren, if you have the qualities that God gives you when you're born again, if you have this brotherly love we're talking about, you're one of his jewels. So don't be surprised if you're rare. Don't be surprised if it doesn't seem like there's a lot of others that feel the same way. But we've got to be jewels. We've got to be tried by the fire. And just like jewels, when jewels go through the fire, they just get better. Fire doesn't hurt them. It makes them look even better. We have emeralds. in the United States, but they're not as brilliant as emeralds that you find in Africa. So one of the things they figured out is if they heat up our emeralds, they become prettier. They get redder. They get more purple, more brilliant in their color. So they heat them up, give them some more heat, and it doesn't hurt them. These are jewels. Jewels don't get hurt. They are only helped by the fire. So when you show your brotherly love one to another, realize that it's a precious thing. Don't expect everybody to be thrilled about showing brotherly love. Because the natural way of man, especially those who are not born again, is to love themselves. That's only natural as to what can I do for me? Don't be surprised if it doesn't seem like you find that many who care for others. But we want to be among that number, those that care one for another. In the book of Acts, don't you like the description of the church as it begins? In Acts chapter 2, you have so many who've come from other countries to be in Jerusalem for the feast. And here they are surprised by the gospel, we might say. They actually get to hear that the Messiah has come and that now there is salvation in Jesus of Nazareth. And after we read about the 3,000 that are baptized who obey the gospel on that day, here's that beautiful description in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. They were together, and they had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. It's a wonderful picture of the church. Now, we can't be exactly like them because our circumstance is different today. We're not traveling. We're not visiting in a foreign land. But as much as possible, we should want to be together. We should want to be with our brethren and to demonstrate the brotherly love that was being shown here in the start of the church. And as we read on further in Acts, we read about brethren who had property and they sold their property so that they could take the money, give it to the apostles, and then distribution would be made. And isn't it sad that the first really bad problem in the church there in Acts chapter 5 involved this very thing? Something that attacked brotherly love. Envy entered in. Ananias and Sapphira apparently noticed the attention that men like Barnabas were receiving and thought, maybe we could get some of that too. But then Satan filled their hearts and they turned it into a lie. When they didn't need to do that, they didn't need to turn this into hypocrisy and envy and all those things were to lay aside. They should have kept it simply a gift and not misled anyone with how much it really was. Just, this is our gift. Well, when given the opportunity to confess there in Acts chapter 5, they stayed with their lie. They could have confessed. They could have tried to make it right at least, but no, they stayed with it and they lost their lives. Do you think that brotherly love had something to do with this? How God cares that the brethren care for each other and not do things like this where we betray that trust that we're to have one for another. What a sad thing it would have been if this had gone unpunished. What would people have said, as it probably would have been found out. And then, of course, the next problem in Acts chapter 6 has to do with showing brotherly love, taking care of the widows and making sure they have everything they need. You see, brotherly love was very fervent there in the beginning, and it needed to be encouraged. But there's all kinds of tests that come up to see if we can keep on loving one another. And that's why we're admonished and exhorted, let brotherly love continue. Let it continue. If you could take a few minutes tonight to think about how come you're a member of the church and why you're still a member of the church tonight, you can probably think of many examples of brotherly love, of men and women in the church who loved you, and they showed it in different ways. I am so thankful for brethren who showed brotherly love to my family, because that's what enabled me to be in the church, was through my parents. I always remember brethren up at Clay Como, a couple of them in particular, who would work during the day, and then in the evening they'd come over to our house and have a Bible study with my father, who was not a member of the church at that time. That's brotherly love, isn't it? They were thinking about my father. They're thinking about his soul, thinking about my mother and how my mother would like for my father to become a member of the church. But you see, it took an effort on their part. It took them going a little bit out of their way to help us out. And there's opportunities that we will have similar to that. Other ways that we could help members of the church and help those that are not yet members to become members of the church. These opportunities are there if we show the Lord that we're willing to work. We show Him that we're ready to take advantage of the opportunity. He'll present us with the opportunity and then give us the tools to carry that out. We are here tonight, brethren, because of brotherly love, and it's important for us to let it continue. If we've let the fire of brotherly love die out, it isn't too late to rekindle it. It's not too late to remember the first works and get back to where we started from. My wife still likes to receive a card from me. Doesn't have to say very much on it, but just to get a card is pretty nice. It's a little thing. It's just a not expensive, and yet it means so much. What are the opportunities we have to serve one another in brotherly love? What are the things we can do for one another? Those are the things we should look for this week, how we can do that. And when we show this brotherly love, it will strengthen us. It will help us. It will develop men for office in the church. It will prepare us for works of service. So I hope that as we think about Hebrews 13 and 1, which we all have memorized by now, we will let brotherly love continue. Don't let it stop. Let it continue. And then in so doing, we will be truly living in accordance to what we were born to do, and that is to love one another. As we close this lesson tonight, the invitation will be offered. If there's anyone outside of Christ, if you're ready to give your life to the Lord and become a member of the body of Christ, you have that opportunity. You can be born again tonight if you will confess your faith in Jesus Christ, repent, and be baptized so your sins can be forgiven. Then the Lord will add you to the church where you can live for Him each day and learn to show brotherly love one to another. If we can help you in your obedience tonight, or if there's if you like place membership, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.